For text this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John. And read from the 14th chapter, and beginning with verse 23, and reading the words in Jesus' name. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and hates nothing in me, and has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us this morning through them. For your words are truth because you are truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In this particular chapter, just before we start out with verse 23, we go back up to verse 21, and he says that he that has my commandments and keeps them, it is he that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest or make myself known to him. And Judas said to him, you know, this isn't Judas Iscariot. Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Let's keep that thought in mind as we're going through this text. And Jesus answered and said to him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loves me not keeps not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. These verses, Jesus is reassuring his disciples, as he has throughout Scripture, and as he does with us. He reassures us that everything that's in this book is ordained of God. Everything that Jesus taught is ordained of God. We've talked before, I've mentioned before about, particularly in Revelations, it talks about a lot of bad things that are going to happen. They're not there to let us down. They're not there to make us sad or be afraid. They're just there as warnings. Here, Jesus talks to his disciples, and he talks to them in such an encouraging word. He talks to them and to assuring them that if you love me, then I love you. If you love me, then my Father loves you. He's encouraging his disciples in these verses that continue, even though you don't understand, continue loving me. And he knew that they did. But he also knew that they did not have the full understanding, I guess, if you will. They did not have the full meaning of what was going to happen to them. And yet they still loved them. He still loved them, and they loved him. They did understand up to a point, and they continued to walk with him. But it's not only these that Scripture talks about, the 12. But there were a lot of others that followed him and were with him. There were a lot of others that were part of his, part of his entourage, maybe, that there were just a group that heard. Now, there were many that left. There were many that could not stand or could not accept the sayings that, Jesus had told them. Scripture even talks about that. Even asks them, will you leave me also? Because you don't agree with maybe what I'm saying, or you are offended by what I'm saying. But everything that Jesus talked about was truth, and it was truth from God. These things have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. That alone is a, I won't say that it's a warning, but it's kind of an indication of him letting them know that, hey, the time is coming where I'm going to be leaving. The time is coming where things just aren't going to be the same. And he does talk about that further on in the text. But then in verse 26, and this is where he makes the promise, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He's speaking specifically to those 12. He's speaking specifically to them and telling them that, I know that you don't understand. I know there's things that are happening. But when that Holy Ghost comes, that the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. Well, isn't that true for us? And I take comfort in these words, that the last part of that, where he says, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many times have you read scripture and it just doesn't make sense? It doesn't fit. Or you read a few words and, okay, I've read text for today, and you go on about your business. It's not the right way to do it. I'm not in any way advocating that. But the point is that you were in the Word. And I believe wholeheartedly that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will bring to remembrance the things that we read, even though we don't understand them, even though they aren't part of our life, maybe, if you will, for the lack of a better term. But he will bring those things to remembrance when they're needed. It happens through life from time to time. You're faced with a situation, and all of a sudden, things come to mind that you hadn't thought of in years, that you just didn't seem to be, I don't really want to say didn't seem to be important, because obviously God's word is completely important. But things come to mind when they're needed. The Holy Ghost will bring to remembrance the things that you read and studied, even as Christ told his disciples and promised his disciples that they will bring to remembrance whatever I have said unto you. And then he goes on. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it, give I unto you, but let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He understood how the disciples were feeling. In your life, have you ever been very, very close to an individual who would be considered a friend beyond a normal friendship? A person that you have been with, been through hard times with, were able to talk openly with, and were never condemned or were never thought less of because of your friendship. And then when that friend decided to move on, wherever it is, move away or whatever the cases were, me, it would be, there is a longing or there a loneliness, a sadness, because you don't know for sure if you're going to see them again. Oh yeah, in today's day and age, you got the computer and phone and whatever, but there's, it's not the same as being there and having a kinship with them and an understanding and be able to be there and to laugh and to cry and to be upset and just all of the things that friends, good friends, are involved with. Someone that you can turn to in time of need and know that they'll have your back. And then they're not there anymore. They're just gone. I can imagine this is how the disciples felt when Jesus told them, "Hey, I'm leaving. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives it, I give it to you, but so don't let your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." He's speaking very specifically. It's not just a passing friendship here now. It's not something that they can look on to. I mean, of course they were friends. There's no doubt about that. But when Jesus said that I'm going to my Father, well, what did Jesus tell them about his Father? His Father was God. So if Jesus is going to go to his Father, he's just not going to be here anymore. It's kind of how the disciples felt. Jesus told them that you should be happy for me, because if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I'm going to my Father, for my Father is greater than I. For those who have gone through a struggle, health-wise, and then have passed on, for Christians, it's a sad time. There's no getting around that. It's a tough time. But yet, at least I look at it in this way, that they're not here anymore. They're not somebody that I can commune with, associate with, be friends with, and just enjoy being around. But you know what? They've gone someplace better. They've gone someplace that is so far superior to anything of the enjoyment that we had while we were here together. They are now with their Heavenly Father, or at least going to be. So Christians look at that a little differently than the world does, or a lot differently, I guess you could say. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I go to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. If you love your friend and he passes on, you would rejoice with the fact that he is gone, or she is gone, or they are gone to be with God. They're not going to be tempted. They're not going to have any more issues. They're not going to have to listen to the stupid news broadcasts about all of the different things that are going on in the life, or the tales that some people will tell. They don't have to deal with that anymore. It's over and done. And as Scripture says, they are sleeping. It is as if they had fallen asleep. And when that last trumpet sounds, they will be raised from the grave. And they will be singing the praise and the glory to God that he so richly deserves, because of their salvation that they have known and understood through Christ. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. I've warned you. I've told you about these things. And when it does happen, you will believe, because you've been told and you understood. And that's the same as what he does throughout Scripture. That's the same as what God has done for each and every one of us. Warned us, told us, encouraged us. Because when it happens, we look at it and say, now I understand. This is what he was talking about. This is the warnings that he had given to us, preparing us for those times. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. He's speaking, of course, of his crucifixion, his trial, and the shame that he had to go through. But he says, for the prince of this world comes. He's talking about Satan. Satan, of course, is the one that wanted to do away with him. Satan is the one that encouraged and gave those who wanted to kill him, gave them the thoughts, the desires, the understand, whatever way you want to look at it. But he certainly encouraged them to do it. And Jesus says to him, but he has nothing over me. He has nothing that he can do to me, because I am of my Father, because I am God's Son. And in that last verse, he says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Even though the Father gave me commandment, this is what God wanted me to do. And so I did it. And I did it according to his rules. I did it according to his will. I did it according to what it is that he would have me do. Not mine, nothing of myself. In fact, scripture says that he emptied himself. And he did. He took all of the glory that he had and left it with his Father, and came down upon this earth so that we might have salvation through him. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, as the Father gave me instruction, even so I do. And then he goes on and he said, arise, let us go hence. He's coming on to that time where he's having to go through the trials. He's coming on to that time where he has to go through the Garden of Gethsemane and the shame and all those things that he had to go through for us. And he did it willingly. And today he sits on God's right hand. And sitting on God's right hand is a significance, that it is the hand, the side, or the hand of power, if you will. He's sitting on God's right hand. And the beauty of it is that he is praying for us, even this morning, so that one day we will be with him. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, God, that you have loved us that much, that you indeed did take upon yourself the punishment of sin, that you took upon yourself the shame and the reproach, the rebuke, the laughter, and all of the suffering that was involved, knowing full well beforehand that this was going to happen, and yet did it anyway. So, Father, we thank you for that. We ask, O God, that you would continue to walk with us and encourage us, Father, because we so desperately want to see you someday. We so desperately want to be with you and be with all of those who sing the praises to you that you so richly deserve. Father, we want you to uplift us so that we could walk this walk of faith and would be an example unto those who see a difference, and be an example unto those who don't know you. So, Father, we thank you for these blessings. And now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.